The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And let's pray this evening. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the time set aside to honor some students, Father, for finishing kindergarten, eighth grade, different academic achievements, different spiritual achievements. I ask, Father, that you would bless each and every one of the students here at Faith Baptist Academy. I ask that you would help them and encourage them, Lord, and use the teachers, parents, pastor, principals, to encourage them to follow you and to put you first in their lives, not only now, but also in the future. Bless the rest of this evening, we ask. In your name we pray it. Amen.
Ask the high school choir if they'd come up at this time. They'll actually be singing two songs. The first song they'll be singing is "The Reason I Sing." Mick asked me just to say something before their second song. They have been asked to do an encore performance from last night, and they've just done a really good job singing out this year. And one of the highlights, of course, the high school choir is singing them Sing at Pilots, a convention we hold. And again, last night they did a great job. And they'll be singing for us tonight the song, The Old Story Will Never Grow Old.
Amen. I asked Brother Mick to sing. They were kind of messing around here trying to get in place, but they weren't planning on singing that song tonight. But boy, it was so good last night. I thought you folks would enjoy hearing it. If not, I enjoyed hearing it a second time myself. So this has been a fun bunch. I don't know when I've enjoyed a high school group more than I have this year thoroughly. It's just been a blessing. And it's not surprising to me that this group had more souls saved than any other previous group of high school students, and they sing. And it's all because they got a great attitude. I told them that on Monday in the Bible class. I just thanked them because we actually went through a school year without having a real tragic catastrophe of character or discipline. I can remember years where we're in the conference room and, you know, we bring this child in and go get this one, and then with it, you know, one person it just opens and it's just, we didn't have any of that this year. None. It was amazing. And I think it was just their attitude was tremendous. Just a great spirit. I don't know. And then it goes hand in hand with singing out. Not afraid to sing. You know, the Bible says when you get saved, God puts a song in your heart, man. And so I appreciate that. And I've thoroughly enjoyed the high school this year. And, of course, get to see the elementary kids in chapel. And I've just enjoyed, you know, I was recently where I was up in, I forget where I went now, but there was a young pastor there. And he was talking about needing possibly to start a school. And, you know, the comments were made about, man, don't do that until you have to. You know, that's a horrible thing, blah. And I got up and I said, you know what? School is work, like any other ministry is work. And a school has a downside, like any other ministry has a downside. But a school can be a great blessing. And our school's been a blessing this year. And I want to talk about the school tonight when I get into the message here in just a moment. Just want to say congratulations to the kindergartners and our lone eighth grader. For the accomplishment that we're celebrating with you young people tonight. The truth is that this is an accomplishment that is worthy of celebrating. And here's why. This accomplishment was not handed to them. This achievement coming out of kindergarten, coming out of eighth grade, this is not a Common Core school. And by the grace of God, we'll never be a Common Core school. This school does not turn a blind eye to laziness and attempt to move along like a bunch of cattle all the students, you know, to the next grade so the parents are happy and everybody stays on course. Let's just get them out of here and keep them moving. Grades are earned. Assignments must be completed. Tests have to be passed for the privilege of moving up to the next grade level. So these are accomplishments that do bring excitement and pleasure to both to all the students and to their families. And the families ought to be happy tonight. You know, I was thinking about those kindergarten boys. I don't know how much they knew coming into kindergarten or didn't know, but man, they're reading now and they know the alphabet and they count their numbers and everything. It's quite a good thing. And of course, Bethany's just a tremendous student, has been, and no doubt will continue to be, following along in the footsteps of her sisters. That's the honest truth. And so it's a great achievement for them. And my congratulations to the three boys and to the our eighth grade graduate as well. It would have been great if, pardon me, Aubrey and Nellie had been able to stay through the entire year. Of course, we knew that wasn't going to happen with Nellie and Aubrey. Their moving caught us by surprise, but they were sweet girls and certainly did add a little bit of pizzazz to the class, no doubt about it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We read them, or Luke, Brother Luke read them for us just a moment ago. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul's writing to Timothy, who was the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and he encouraged him in many different ways. In many respects, Paul was Timothy's teacher. Sometimes people like Paul are called mentors. Pardon me. And there are some things that Paul, the teacher, mentor, if you will, to take a sip of this water, there's something in my throat tonight. There are some things that Paul, the teacher, mentor, said to Timothy, the student, that I would like to apply to the students of Faith Baptist Academy. And I was thinking this afternoon, the truth is that these can be applied to past, past students, present students, and future students who are in this room tonight. Of our school. Like I said, I'm thankful for the school, and I want to just say three things from this passage tonight. First of all, I want to say to past, present, and future students, you have learned truths that provide worth for a lifetime. You have learned truths that provide worth for a lifetime. Paul wrote, and he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The things that Timothy had learned would be of value in the future. There was no sense in being removed from them. Keep them with you, Timothy, because they're valuable. They are worthwhile truths. Timothy had not been taught silly and useless and unprofitable nonsense that simply filled the time. And I think that happens in so many schools today. It's just, you know, let's do something to fill the time. Let's get something to get to pass this class. But here at the Faith Baptist Academy, it's not that way. And the truths that Timothy had learned were timeless in worth and value. And people, the honest truth is, students may not use everything they are taught in school, but none of it is worthless. You know, the truth of the matter is, even our electives in our high school are courses that are valuable for our students, even though they're just electives. They're not just time killers. The girls take home ec once in a while. All the kids take computer, and they take keyboarding. And I'll promise you, you know, I took typing in high school. That was long before there was computers that were personal for everybody to use. And I am very happy that I don't have to sit and peck on a keyboard. I know how to type, and I learned that in school. And so our kids have learned keyboarding. They learned how to do firearm handling and safety. So the things that they're taught, even in electives, aren't just time fillers. They are valuable, worthwhile. And while not all students will use everything they are taught, all students will use some things no matter what they end up doing in life. For instance, it doesn't matter if you're a policeman, a plumber, a photographer, or the president of the United States. All of those people use English. All of them use English. Communication skills, both verbal and in written form, are incredibly important. Everyone uses the alphabet to communicate either with spoken or written words, and most people use both. And we still believe in teaching English the old-fashioned way here, where you can sound out words and learn to read by knowing how to sound out the word, sound out the letters. To know how to do that correctly is important whether you are writing a book or filling out a job application. If you're preparing a sermon to preach, or you're booking a repair job for your business, the things that you learn in the classroom at Faith Baptist Academy provide worth for you in the future. You may find yourself using math concepts, relying on your knowledge of history, or using a law you studied in science class as a part of your future. You can be assured that what you have learned about those particular subjects will be of a help to you, because truth is always profitable. Always profitable. It's timeless. It's worthwhile. And Paul told Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. I want to say, second of all tonight, that you have learned truths from people you can trust. People you can trust. Paul said this. He said, Timothy, you continue in the things which thou hast learned. And then he wrote, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So Paul said Timothy could be sure of what he had learned, partly because of who taught him. And this was a reference to Paul himself. Paul was talking about himself and others from whom Timothy had learned. Who teaches a person is important because of the impact a teacher's life has on a student. A teacher's life has tremendous impact on a student. You know, the greatest impact a teacher has on a student is not determined by the teacher's intellect. The greatest impact a teacher has on a student is not determined by their own personal academic achievements. The greatest impact a teacher has on a student is not determined by the number of degrees following their name. We've worshipped scholarship, and it hasn't gotten us where we need to be. The greatest impact a teacher makes is through the life they live. That's the greatest impact they make. Even earlier in the chapter here, I don't know if you have your Bible still open, but in the chapter here, Paul reminded Timothy that Timothy had fully known Paul's manner of life. In verse number 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. Timothy, you've known me. You've fully known my manner of life, how I've lived my life. With Paul, it wasn't just do as I say. With Paul, it was do as I do. And that's the way it is at Faith Baptist Academy. Our teachers, it's a special thing for the students. It's one thing to teach through what you say. It's something else altogether to teach through how you live. And when I think of the students at our academy, I am reminded of the advantage that they have of knowing their teacher's manner of life. These men and women are not only their teachers, they are their fellow church members. The students see them standing in front of classrooms teaching lessons, but they also see them singing specials in church services, teaching Sunday school lessons, and sitting with visitors they brought to church. They see the teachers sitting with an open Bible during a preaching service, sometimes taking notes during the message, and once in a while, kneeling at the altar during the invitation time. That makes an impact, folks, beyond the classroom. They see dedication and commitment to the kids on display in the classroom Monday through Friday. And then they also see dedication and commitment to Christ on display Sunday through Saturday. There's something powerful about do as I do, as opposed to do as I say. And added to all that are the extra heart-motivated special things that these teachers do to make the kids' learning experiences all the more incredible. Brother Bragg was mentioning some of them yesterday at our last staff meeting, devotion time, and he was thanking verbally the teachers. And I won't go into some of the things that he talked about, but all of these teachers go above and beyond from spending their own money, which they don't make a lot of, which they could make far more, teaching in government schools, okay? They take some of their own money and their own time, and they go above and beyond the call of duty. These teachers have proven their love over and over again. You know, one thing that stuck out to me at the awards chapel on Tuesday, you know, Casey came and gave the awards, and then Kristen came and gave the awards to the first and second grades, and then Faith followed with third and fourth, and then Kylie with fifth and sixth. And what stuck out to me was, every one of those kids that came up to get it, there was an obvious, deep affection for that teacher. Not just from the teacher to the student, but the student to the teacher. There is a bond there. And I want to tell you something, folks. That's powerful. That's powerful. Because a teacher's impact goes beyond just their educational knowledge. A teacher's impact is the life that they live. The teachers here are not only credible, they are trustworthy. And I want to say to the students, you have learned from people you can trust. Like Paul, like Timothy could learn from Paul and be assured of what he learned because he learned it from somebody he could trust. And then, let me say number three tonight. I think that this is one of the most important things. You have been taught from the most important textbook. The Bible says here, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So he said, Timothy, in verse 14, you've learned some things and you're assured of those things and you can be confident in those things because they're true and you know who you've learned them from. And then Timothy, on top of that, you've also from a child known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, we use some good books for curriculum here at the academy and in the elementary school. We use good books for the English and for all the core subjects. We use Saxon math. But we don't ignore the best textbook. The best textbook is the one I'm holding in my hand right now. The Word of God is the textbook that stands tall above all others. It is the book of God. And it makes young people wise in the most important subject. And that's salvation. There is no subject, there is no academic subject on earth that can touch the hem of the garment in comparison to how important the subject of salvation is. Academic instruction will get you through this life. Salvation prepares you for the next. Salvation spares you from the penalty of sin, which is hell, forever and ever and ever. Salvation prepares you for a wonderful place called heaven. Everybody is born into this world a sinner. We don't have to discuss that at length tonight. We know that. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not sinners because of what we do. We're sinners because of what we are in our hearts. Nobody has to teach us how to lie. Nobody has to teach us how to be selfish. It's all part of our nature. The Bible says that we're born with that nature. It came from Adam down to his kids. One of his kids killed the other one. Called a sin nature. Their kids got the sin nature. And their kids. And here we are tonight. And those three little precious kindergarten boys, as young and precious as they are, got a sin nature. Every little child back there in that nursery has a sin nature. Get it from mom and dad. The Bible teaches that. And the Bible teaches that the penalty of that sin nature is eternal separation from God forever in the place called hell. That's an awful price to pay for the sin that we've committed. But folks, remember this. Our sin is against the greatest, the highest of them all. There is none higher than God. And our sin is against Him. And because the penalty, because the sin is against the greatest one there is, then the consequences of that sin are very severe. And the wages of sin is death. And the Bible talks about a second death where we are removed from the presence of God forever in a place called hell or the lake of fire. But the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ came. And this is what it says here at the end of verse 15. I'm able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that's where salvation is. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not in a church baptistry. Salvation is not in any kind of religion. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. And only Jesus. He died. He buried. He was buried. He rose again. To pay sin's penalty for us. And these children are taught that. We're not ashamed of that. We don't apologize for that. We try to teach them that Jesus is their answer for heaven. Jesus is their hope for eternal life. Jesus is the only way. And I don't know how many of these little kids, I don't know at what point in time they come to know Christ as Savior. I know Jeb got saved this year. I don't know about the others. But we're unapologetic about teaching these kids that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Bible teaches. And if you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved, I don't care how many degrees you got behind your name, what your IQ may be, none of that can prepare you for heaven. Only salvation in Jesus Christ can prepare you for heaven. So if you're not saved tonight, I would invite you. You know, you're at a church service. It's a great place to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Somebody here can talk to you about it. We don't have a come forward invitation on a graduation night usually, but I don't want to let you go without giving you the opportunity to know how to be saved, to know that you are on your way to heaven, to spend eternity with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as opposed to being separated from Him forever in the lake of fire. The Bible is the most important textbook. We use the Bible in our school. We use the Bible in our chapel. We use the Bible in our Bible classes. I think about the Bible. It's important because of its position. There's nothing any higher than the Word of God. Psalm 138, verse 2 says that God magnified the Word of God above all of His name. Think about that. How high is God's name? And the Word of God is magnified above it. We use the Bible because of its promise. In Isaiah 55:11, the Bible promises that it will not return void. We use the Bible because of its permanence. In Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We use the Bible because of its preeminence. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible tells us that the written word of God is more sure than the audible voice of God. It's preeminent. We use the Bible because of its power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We use the Bible because of its protein. Matthew 4:4 tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We use the Bible because of its purifying effect. The Bible says in Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We use the Bible because of its productivity. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible tells us that it develops mature people of God. And we use the Bible, number 9, because of its prosperity. Psalm 1 and verse 3 tells us that if we'll delight in the law of God, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and his fruit doesn't fade away. And I'm butchering it, but you get the picture, okay? The prosperity of it. And then we use the Bible because of its peace. In Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's why we unashamedly teach from the most important textbook, the Word of God. Now, you have been taught truths that will provide worth for a lifetime. You have learned truths from people you can trust. And you have been taught from the most important textbook. I like our school. It's not perfect. It's not perfect because the pastor's not perfect. And I know the principal's not perfect. And the teachers and the students aren't perfect. But it's a good school because it's built on that book right there. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I do want to seriously say tonight that if you're not sure that you're saved, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven when you die, Jesus Christ loves you more than any person in the world. And He proved it by coming to Calvary to die on the cross. And you can have eternal life by putting your faith and trust in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. If you're not sure you're saved, please turn your heart to Christ. In your seat tonight, you can get saved where you sit. If you will sincerely put your trust in Christ and only Christ, not a church, not a creed, not a baptistry, in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel. If you turn your heart to Christ tonight, right there where you sit, you can receive Him as your personal Savior. Very simply, confess, tell God that you know you're a sinner. Tell God that you know you can't get yourself to heaven. And then ask God for His mercy. Ask Him to save you. Tell the Lord you believe Jesus died for you and you accept His payment for your sin. Trust Christ tonight, right where you sit. Heavenly Father, thank You for these graduates, for Bethany and these three boys. I pray again for their future. I pray, God, that You'll please help them as they move on to next year's grade level. Lord, I pray that they will give their heart to serve You, to follow You, to know Your will and do it. Again, we pray for blessing on their families, their parents, grandparents. Ask God that You'll give them a very happy and safe summer and all of our students here at the Academy. Bring us back, Lord, for another wonderful year. Lord, I don't take for granted the year You just gave us. For some reason, You really smiled on it. and I appreciate that. Please do it again, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name, and amen.